We have 38 questions this morning. Today is December 23rd, 2018, for taking purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our songbooks at number 685. 685 would be the song of invitation after Brother Robert's lesson. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 617. Though the way we journey may be often drear, we shall sing the King's someday. Of the blessed morning clouds disappear, we shall sing the King's someday. We shall sing the King's someday.
Young people will be traveling with their families today, but we also knew a lot of our young people would be here to sing Jesus Loves Me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And we knew you'd sing it with relish and knew we'd sing it with the adults just like we do. And it'd have a joyful time. Jesus loved it. And then the other song that's kind of like that. And think, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And of course, as they grow older, we teach them in Bible school up here and everything that Jesus lived for all the children. He died for all the children. He rose up for all the children of the world in that song and tell them about the whole story about Jesus and Himself. Well, Brother Tom asked you to mark, and if you would, mark that 685. And that's what you've marked in your book. If you would open that song book, though, for the other young adults at heart and turn to number 5 in our book. And here's a song that we'd all need to be reminded about. Number 5. Here I labor and toil as I look for a home. Just an humble abode among men. While in heaven there's mansions.
and a gentle voice pleading, come in. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me. At the end of life's trouble, some way, many friends and dear loved ones will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion someday. Verse 3, when my labor and toiling have ended below, and my hand shall I hold it in rest, I'll exchange this old home for a mansion up there, and invite the archangel as guest. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me. At the end of life's trouble, some way, many friends and dear loved ones will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion someday. As our lessons have dealt with the idea of the Lord's care for us and the way that He does care for us, we come today to a day that the Word at large likes to talk about Jesus Christ, the Savior. And we don't mind them talking about that, although we do not really know exactly the time of the year in which Jesus was born. The activities that are associated with that, however, tell us that in the ministry of Jesus, He emphasized believing in Him. And in John chapter 8, when He said, you must believe that I am He, or you will die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, where I go, you cannot come. He was emphasizing His presence and the knowledge of His presence to be in our lives. When do we need to have the knowledge of Jesus in our lives? Is it not wherever we go and whatever we do, whatever we say? When we're saying those things that are not of God, lies, falsehoods that are told, very evil ways that are spoken, evil words that are used, do we not remember that Jesus said, of every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment? That we're not pleasing to God in doing that, but we're pleasing to the Lord if we believe in Him, and as we believe in Him, we practice the things that He has taught us to practice in life. Good speech and fair speech and good words and good deeds and activities that are faithful and helpful to others as we go along this life. Where are we in our activities of life? We talk about the ways in which we live and ways that are faithful to God and His will. There's hardly anyone that is saluted higher than the brother Gaius there in 3 John, a lesson study this morning, and I mentioned to the class that I'd be bringing Gaius back up in this particular lesson today, because it is significant that we read there in regard to his relationship in the church and his relationship with others. It is noted here in 3 John verses 5 and 6. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Here we are to be people and help people to know the cause of the Lord. Salvation can be ours. We have never so sinned and gone so far away from Him, but that we can have forgiveness from Him. We can be people serving Him, and we can be people rewarded by Him. We find ourselves enjoying a relationship with Him, however, and it's a relationship, notice what he says, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. The idea of the ecclesia is part of Gaius' life. And as he was a part of the church, he was faithful in helping others, even strangers that came by. He was faithful to help them. You brethren are faithful to that way as well. The pantry back here is getting full and fuller, even though it's been used at this time of the year a great deal. It's ready and available for people to be used. And it'll be that way over the next few weeks of time. It'll be restocked all the way to the brim. What a good thing to be of help to people.
and to look forward to talking to people about their careers and their works in life. Oh, there are people who come here and knock at our door and talk to us and everything about their circumstances of life. Some of those circumstances, factually, can be redone. If they walked a different mile, a different way, a different road, a different activity, were around a lot of different people, they wouldn't have been in the difficulty that they have, the troubles that they have. And they recognize that many times. They'll say things like that. But our help to them is in the system of helping, not prolonging their troubles, not prolonging their evils, not prolonging their wickedness, but to help them and to realize that that help comes from people who are earnest, who thought of them before they thought of themselves. And as a result, we're there ready to help and willing to help and do that kind of good things. What a good thing it is that the church can have a witness of the fact that that charity has been extended and has been now a rewarding thing to others. He mentions about the church furthermore in verse number 10. He says there in 3 John at verse 10, "Wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds." He's talking about Diotrephes and how he loves to have the preeminence among the brethren, casting some out of the church and all this sort of thing. How rough he was and mean-spirited he was in life. And he says, "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." Who has the right to do that? He didn't have the right. Diotrephes didn't have the right to do that. The idea was that he was doing it on his own preeminent position, his own authority, his own way. And that's not a way that brings about joy. It's not a way that brings about service. It's not a way of bringing about peace when you serve yourself with that kind of power and that kind of roughhousing treatment of others. To the contrary, the church was noted that John would be there. And John says he wants to talk to this brother at the time. He's not like the brother Demetrius that is named in the latter two verses of this chapter. He talks about Demetrius loving to do good things and how he loves the truth as well. When you and I look for the truth, we find something different than the world at large preaches and teaches and works with. As good as they may be in doing good things and good deeds that appear to be good things for others round about us, the idea of doing things that are against God's will and God's word is a sad thing to see. Because when they do that type of thing, they're teaching people a way of life that is not a way to be honored. It's not a way of the Lord. It's not a way of hope. Didn't Jesus our Lord say in his public ministry in John 12 verse 48, "If you reject me and receive not my word, you have one that will judge you. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day." He personified the word. He made the word of God, the black ink and the white pages here. He made that word personified. There is one that will judge you in the last day. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. When you and I are reading our Bible and reading what God expects of us and the relationship we have with Jesus and the relationship we have with the church and the activities of the church there in 3 John verse 7 and verse 10, we find ourselves an opportunity to do what he says to do and be what he says to be. And that's the way God would have it to be done. When we find ourselves doing that, we'll find ourselves with a hope of a great reward. A reward from God himself. A reward of, Jesus said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things." You know, as we look around in our lives and activities of our lives, we can factually say, there are just a few things in which we have done his will. Just a few things we've done right and good. So many times we have intended to, but along the way, we slipped up. We did not do what was right. And we had to ask God, and we did ask God's forgiveness. And he's promised that he would forgive us. At the same time, if we live our lives in such a way that we carelessly go about life and carelessly go about our trials and temptations of life, and get over into wrongdoing again and again and again without much thought in our minds, are we really pleasing him? Are we really doing what he has asked us to do? He said, "My word will judge you in the last day." there will be a last day, there will be a time of it. What did the Lord do in regard to securing our feelings about Him and our service of Him toward that last day? In Matthew 13, beginning at verse 40, 41, He talks about when the end of the world shall come. Well, we're talking about that in our lesson today. What about the end of the world coming? The end of time coming. Now, for some, it'll come by way of an accident that takes place, or by way of a sickness and illness that is fatal, and our time will come to an end as far as this world is concerned. But He's speaking there in regard to a day when people are living and they're actively involved and they're doing this, that, and the other around themselves. They're having a big time. But suddenly, I will send forth the angels, He says, and they will gather out of the kingdom all that offend and commit iniquity. You mean to tell me people in the kingdom were offending the Lord and committing iniquity with their fellow man? That's what He says was going on with some. Not everyone, but some. Because He says, these shall be taken out of the kingdom. The word there in the King James, I believe, is severed from the kingdom. Severed from the kingdom. Cut away from the kingdom. The angels will be sent and He will sever them from the kingdom. All that offend and commit iniquity. Then shall the righteous. Now, there are others in the kingdom. What are they doing? They're doing right things. They're glorifying God in the things that they say and do. They don't just give food out to help people in need without a prayer to God in regard to that. They find themselves prayerfully to God and thanking God for the opportunity to extend Him in the minds and hearts of these individuals that come by. Well, the opportunity is there to be spiritually minded. And to be people spiritually minded means that someday there's a great hope. And when the angels shall come and take out of the kingdom all that offend and commit iniquity, then shall the righteous shine as doth the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Shine as doth the sun? Well, that's the idea of glory. Glorifying God. We have been shining a light on God by the things we've done and do. You know, Jesus talked about that in the beginning of His preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. He said, regarding those people who do things, that they may do their good works and glorify God who is in heaven. They will give glory to God for your good deeds if you don't take too much credit for it yourself, but you give credit to Him for the opportunity you have to serve. They will glorify God for your serving. What a blessing it is to have that kind of service and relationship to God all the time. We invite you to be a part of this congregation and be a part of that great work. The little things that are done by this one, that one, the other one, why, it brings together a big, big harvest and a big opportunity to serve. And that is so good. When these people come by and they send us another day, we got from over in Marston, Arkansas, from the children's home over there. And they do a marvelous work and a lot of things that they work with children. A lot of them in that area of Arkansas come from really awful backgrounds. And they are given words and mannerisms that so change their lives that they're not recognizable to the family members that may come back sometime into their lives. They're not even recognizable to them. They don't talk the same way. They don't think the same thoughts. They don't do the same deeds that they used to do. But we got a letter from them thanking us for the number 10 cans. They said they had enough number 10 cans of everything. And they were so appreciative of that. But also they mentioned this. Significantly appreciative to us. Thank you for sending us the cans. Letting us pick up those cans. And they had the correct expiration dates on those cans. You and I may not look a whole lot at expiration dates on cans. Think about cooking them. Mr. Jane and I cook things up to 165 degrees anyway, and so we're just okay with whatever is there. But the state of Arkansas and other places like that, they want those children to be fed with foods that come out of a can that has an expiration date within the time frame. They thanked us for looking and being sure that the cans that we sent had the right expiration dates. Tell me that's not service that they appreciated, that the cooks over there appreciated, and that we appreciated because they sent back a little letter and a little note in that letter that highlighted in red and said, "We've got enough, but we thank you for checking on the dates of those cans." What a blessing. Thank you for listening and your study with us today as we talk about these things of service and how that in service people are involved and the church is involved in 3 John. And how that we have opportunity to serve the Lord and not be a part of that group of whom when the angels come at the end of the world. In Matthew 13, we see it. They'll take out of the kingdom those that offend and commit iniquity. Someone may be powerful and strong and mighty and everything and say, "I won't go." You won't disobey an angel of God. The angel of God will come and heal. He will tell you, "This will be the way that you'll go. This will be the direction you'll move. And you'll be gone." Not part of that. But be a part of the righteous who in that day will shine as doth the sun. You see all the good deeds and activities that the righteous were doing along life's journey never really shined as well as they do on that day. Somebody would remember, "Yeah, but you got somebody in that congregation that's really terrible in language and terrible in deeds and terrible in mannerisms to me." Okay. But if the opportunity arises for this day to come, they'll be taken out of the kingdom or removed, severed from the kingdom. And the righteous will shine as doth the sun. Oh, what a day. You can be a part of that group and a part of that way. Remember that in the New Testament of our Bible, we read where people are converted. 8 detailed examples given in the book of Acts of the Apostles. In that 5th book of the New Testament, we find that our opportunity is ours to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ just like they did. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, they were told to repent, be baptized for the remission of their sins, and the Lord added them to the church the day by day, those who were being saved, in Acts 2:47. Well, when he got over to Cornelius' house, Simon Peter said to him similar words. "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized and receive the Spirit the same as we?" And commanded them to be baptized. And they went to be baptized into Christ. They found a new way of life as they were serving the cause of the Lord. What a blessing it was. Paul himself will talk about the day that he was converted. In Acts 9 and Acts chapter 22, we read of Paul's conversion and how he was converted to the Lord. Not on the road to Damascus, told on the road to Damascus, "Go into the city and there you'll be told what you must do." That's what the text says. He went into the city and he was there in prayer, waiting and listening and weeping about his condition. He realized he was not faithful to God. A gospel preacher named Ananias came to visit him. "Sent by the Lord," this gospel preacher said, "Why are you tarrying, Brother Saul?" A fellow Jewish brother. He wasn't a brother in the Lord yet, because look at the words that are said there. "Why are you tarrying, Brother Saul? Arise and go be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." He did not yet have his sins removed. When he talks about that later to the Romans in Romans chapter 6, some of them had the idea that the more they sinned, since the grace of God is required to forgive us of our sins, the more grace it would take to forgive some sins and others. And therefore, the more that we sinned, the more that God would be closer to us because he'd offer grace to us to forgive us. And Paul writes to them, he says, "Shall we continue in sin?" In Romans 6 at 1. "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us," notice his personal plural pronoun, "us." He includes himself among the brethren at Rome. You and me. Us. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were buried with him by baptism into his death? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised to walk in newness of life. Is there not a peace? Is there not a service that is offered to you and me in those humble words? He goes on to talk about how that we were died to sin and no longer live therein. We know what to do with our sins. John tells us what we should do with our sins. Confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. In 1 John 1 at verse 9, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing we have when we have that kind of a service relationship with the Lord. And you can have that. You can begin that today. As this song invites you to come, will you not come to Jesus and render obedience to his will today? As we stand together, let us sing. Tonight, tomorrow, realize that we've prepared for you. The water's been warmed overnight. It's still warm, and it'll be warm by this time tomorrow at noon. It'll still be that kind of good temperature for us. But it won't be so bitter cold. There's hardly anything colder than water that's still in a cold, cold vat. But it is there. But we don't have that. We warm it up, and we let it be that way for a day and a half at least. So give us a call. Come by, dear. And let's talk further in regard to these things and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Good to be with you today. God bless you all. Remember tonight at 6, we'll have a very brief devotional time, songs and prayer. And the Lord's Supper will be offered to those who are traveling through and that way. God bless you all. Thank you.
times that we have been able to gather together, sing songs of praise, gather around your son's table, and just study another portion of your word. To be here, Father, to worship you, we pray, in spirit and truth. Thanking you, Father, for all the blessings that you give us every day in our life. To be reminded, Father, that we need to be about your business every day in our life. To glorify you, and we can do so, Father, by living a Christian life. Showing the world that we're different from your ways, and Father, show the world that the things that we do come from you. Father, we pray for those that are sick and cannot be here this day. For those that are brothers, sisters in Christ. For our physical family and for our friends, Father, there are many of them sick. We ask you to restore them to their normal walks in this life. For those that have lost loved ones, Father, we pray for them. We ask you, Father, to alleviate their sorrows. Father, may they have better days ahead, and we pray that they'll look to you for guidance and help to come. May we do our part as well. Bless us this week, Father, for we'll be traveling and going from place to place and enjoying ourselves. And Father, we pray that we may have a time of season is, of course, to the world, it's the birth of Christ, your Son. But to us, Father, it's our thankfulness for him for every day in our life. Father, we pray that you'll bless us this week, that we'll accomplish the things that we need to do. And Father, help us always to think of you in our days. Forgive us for our sins, Father, for we know that we're weak and we're sinful, and we do sin at times, and we ask you to forgive us, cleanse us, and keep us by your side. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.